This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m. I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ugh, you said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. List it in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope, but I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Migration Podcast, your guide for waterfowl hunting tactics, gear, and conservation. And now, your host, Brian Halbly.
What is up, everyone? As Johnny M. said, I'm your host, Brian Halbly. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to tune in to the Migration Waterfowl Podcast. Thank you so much. Coming to you from my flu-ridden deathbed, I think. You probably may have noticed I haven't been posting much on social media since getting back from the Great American Outdoor Show, or should I say the Great American Bug Show, Flu Bug Show. I think I jinxed myself last episode when I was talking about these outdoor shows being held during flu season. I just spent the last 5 days battling whatever strain I picked up at that show. I had to cancel a couple of guests over the past week that I had scheduled. And so now I'm just putting together this episode to get something out for you on Thursday. Because that's what I do. I'm dedicated to bringing you one episode every week, and I'm not going to let something like a flu bug keep me from doing that, as hard as this might be for me. So please bear with me. As you can probably hear, I'm still not 100%. But this was the perfect opportunity to bring you a listener question episode. So stick around and I'll jump into those questions that you all sent me. I'm not sure how long this episode will go today, but I will definitely give it my best effort. It's been quite a few years since I've gotten sick like this. I think the last time, well, I don't really ever get the flu every couple of years. I think the last time was about with COVID back in 2022 or 2023, early 2023. I can't remember. But usually if I get the flu every couple of years, it lasts maybe 2 days, 3 days, and then I start to bounce back. But, it's been a long time since I can remember one this rough. But I've been hearing this, the strains that are out there this year are pretty brutal. Everybody I've talked to that's had it has had it longer than normal. Hooray. Hopefully this isn't going to become a regular thing, because this is not fun at all. But the medications that we have access to these days are pretty useless too, thanks to the idiots who couldn't just enjoy the benefits of modern medicine to help them through flu season. Instead, they want to cook it down and make meth and other illegal substances. Man, I miss the old NyQuil. You remember the old NyQuil? You know, you didn't have to deal with these crippling body aches. You could just take a shot of NyQuil and sleep for 12 or 15 hours while your body healed itself. Now you're up every 2 hours taking another dose of worthless medicine and not getting the rest your body needs to heal itself. Oh, well. All right. Enough of my belly aching. There's no sense crying about a lost week of work and exercise. Just have to get right back after it. This episode is brought to you by these fine partners, Bluebird Waterfowl, The Duck Hole and Company, and CK Custom Calls. More to come about these partners later in the show. Don't forget about our giveaway over on our YouTube channel. We're really building that subscriber base over there. Once we get to 1,000 subscribers, we're going to be giving away that case of Heavy Shot ammo. We also have the Bluebird Waterfowl animator, and we've got some hats, and I might string together some other prizes here before we get to that 1,000. But there's three things you got to do. You got to go to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, find the New Year's giveaway video, like that video, and then comment "done" on that video, and we'll get you entered to win one of those prizes. I'll be attending the Toronto Sportsman Show March 14th through the 16th. I'll be hanging out at the Punisher Waterfowl booth with my friend Damian Pittman, Craig Lalonde, and the rest of the crew there. Be sure to stop and see us. Punisher Waterfowl will be hosting The Refuge, a dedicated waterfowl area at the show, full of duck and goose hunting product manufacturers, guides, and outfitters. This is your chance to get your eyes and hands on the latest waterfowl gear and products. We'll be recording some podcasts there and doing live updates throughout the weekend. I hope to see some of you all and hear how your seasons went. And hopefully I won't pick up any more sick bugs at that show. We are moving quickly towards our 50th episode and our 1 year anniversary of the show launch. The response and growth have been incredible, and we're always looking for new partners to work with in 2025 and beyond. If you or someone you know has a waterfowl related brand, product, or service, we would love to partner with you in 2025 and beyond and help you grow your business as we grow. Feel free to reach out by email or social media message for more information. You'll find that our media kit and our partner rates are some of the best value in the industry. Please take a moment and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you send me a message after you leave the review, I'll send you a Migration Waterfowl podcast decal. As I mentioned on this episode, I'll be getting into some listener questions that were submitted by you all. I appreciate you taking the time to send those in. I'd like to thank the good Lord for blessing us with another opportunity to get together for another episode. So let's get into episode number 42. All right. Thank you all for coming back. I'm going to just jump right into these questions here. The Andrew Barella asked, if you could hunt with one person, who would it be? That's an easy one. My father, Patrick. If you've been listening for a while, you've heard me talk about my dad, how he got me into the outdoors at an early age and always made time to take me hunting. He passed away just over 10 years ago, and I'd give anything to hunt with him one more time. But the good news from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that I will see him again when we're all reunited in God's kingdom. On our last hunt together, I took him on a pheasant hunt in South Dakota, along with my daughter, Allison. I think I've mentioned that a few times, but it was pretty cool to have three generations of hunters together. Got to spend a lot of quality time with him. He was a super hard worker, always worked extremely hard for his family to put food on the table. Things didn't come easy for him. Growing up, he lost his dad at an early age. Had to work, you know, to help his mom out, and he had a lot of siblings. So he's kind of grew up faster than he probably should have, but he was a workaholic till the day he died. And it was tough, especially as I got older. As when I was a kid, he always made time for me and my brother. That was really important for him, to take us fishing and camping and hunting. But once we kind of got established and started having our own families, he was a great grandfather as well. He spent a lot of time with our daughters. But when it came time to taking off during the week, it was it's not something that he did a lot of. He was just so ingrained to be working all the time. He owned his own business after losing his job at the steel mill. If you know anything about Pittsburgh, it was a big steel town back in the 70s. And once those mills closed, there was a lot of people that lost their jobs there. So he had to get quite resourceful, and I don't think that ever got lost on him once he became his own boss. He just never lost sight of that and never let off the gas pedal. But that was a rare time when he agreed to take a week off of work and go on a hunting trip with me and Allison and a couple of my friends. And it was incredible. Got to see a part of the country, a beautiful part of the prairies that we don't get to see on the western edge of Pennsylvania here. A lot of different landscapes, more natural pheasants. I call them more natural because there's breeding populations of pheasants in South Dakota, even though they're not native to this country originally. Everything that we do in Pennsylvania as far as pheasant hunting goes is all stocked, put and take. So it's kind of cool to experience that and to see hundreds of them lifting off. And got to shoot our limits every day and shot some sharp tail grouse, and just really, really enjoyed having that time with him. He passed not long after that trip. So my daughter and I were very fortunate to have that trip with him, to have that time, you know, round the clock, you know, not just seeing him on the weekends or for birthdays or something like that. It was the most time I'd spent with him since I was a kid. So that was pretty special. But yeah, I mean, I can probably think of some others that would be amazing to hunt with, but can't think of anyone that would knock my hero off the number one spot. You know, Vietnam veteran, Purple Heart recipient, just the tough guy all the way around, you know, a man's man. The guy could do everything. I mean, everything that I've learned to do is from him. I can't recall much of anything the guy couldn't do or fix. And if he didn't know, he would figure it out. He was just, I don't know if stubborn's the right word, but I've got a lot of that stubbornness just to keep on working hard. So that's probably not a bad way to describe it, but yeah, so that's a pretty easy one for me. Moving on to the next question here. Jaden111 asked, what's the three biggest mistakes you made this season and three things you plan on changing next year? That was not an easy one to answer. This was kind of a unique season, as you know. Those of you been following for a while, my life has changed significantly with my both of my daughters being in college now, my wife being a school teacher, and my fall being pretty much wide open. With 28 years at my current job, I've got tons of time off, and I take most of it in the fall for hunting. So between that and starting this podcast and this brand last year, it was a very unique situation. I had never hunted waterfowl this much, especially being in Western Pennsylvania. It's not the most glamorous place to waterfowl hunt. You can do well. There's plenty of birds around most years. But it was a completely different dynamic this season. And I enjoyed the hell out of it, and very satisfied with how everything went. This episode is brought to you by Bluebird Waterfowl, creator of the Animator. The Animator is revolutionizing the waterfowl community with the world's first spinning wing decoy conversion kit. Turn your existing spinner into a water motion decoy in seconds and learn how to finish more birds with the sound of water. Guaranteed to boost your hunt or your money back. Flaring birds with your spinner is a thing of the past. Try one risk-free at bluebirdwaterfowl.com or at your favorite local outdoor supplier. Wasn't easy to come up with these three, and I think there's probably more, but after giving it some thought, I'll say the first one is I allowed myself to get a little lazy on a few occasions. For example, like not doing a follow-up scout the day before a few hunts over the season. I kind of just relied on historical data or like earlier scouting in the week or the weekend before that the spot should be good. And we all know that's not a recipe for success. As you know, birds can leave in an instant, and the most recent information is obviously the most important. So something that I need to work on. I did a fairly good job at it, but I still had times where it was like, I work till 3 o'clock. Do I really feel like driving an hour to check on a spot for the last hour of daylight, blah, blah, blah. Just excuses, you know, should have went. Sometimes it worked out over the season. Sometimes it didn't, but most times it doesn't. So not something that I want to replicate or make a habit of, that's for sure. Number two, not doing enough shooting practice in the off season. You know, I've been around shotguns for the better part of four decades. Get a little bit complacent, I think, when you have that much experience shooting shotguns and hunting birds. Doesn't mean I wouldn't benefit from regular practice. It's just like a mentality thing where you just don't prioritize it. And while my shooting percentage overall this season was favorable, I'd have to go back on the North American Waterfowler app and look, but it was – I think I was in the high 50s. I finished off. I was in the 60s for a while. So you can't complain about that. But I had a few days that were just downright horrendous. And we all have those days. And, you know, would a few days at the trap range year-round have fixed those few bad days? Maybe not. But regular practice with a shotgun and ammo that you hunt with is never a waste of time. So that's something I'll probably try to pick up and do more often year-round going into this next season. Number three, not finishing strong. And I give myself some grace here after a long, well-traveled, and relatively successful season. But I did allow myself to get a little soft in the last few weeks of the late duck season, and I certainly missed out on some opportunities. And that could also partly fall on my planning and priorities that become more loose, or that became more loose, I should say, as the season was coming to an end. I do have some late season goose opportunities left here in February, so hopefully I can redeem myself and taste a few more sunrises before the sun sets completely on this hunting season. With those three exceptions, I'm fairly content with how my season went. I don't necessarily need to make any major changes for next season, I don't think. However, there's always room to improve everywhere. So to answer Jaden's question completely, here are three things that I plan on improving. Number one, I feel my calling has gotten fairly decent, but it's something I'm always working to improve and will continue to do so. Something that we can all continue improving for sure. You know, we all talk about it. We all hear everybody talking about keeping a call in your truck, even all through the off season, keeping one handy, different scenarios, you know. And you probably notice this as well, you know, throughout the season, especially if you get to hunt regularly. By the end of the season, you're feeling a lot more confident in your calling than you are when the season starts, especially if you're not blowing that all off season. So something to take note of, something that I'm definitely going to try to improve upon and get better on that for sure. Also want to prioritize getting some new reeds for my calls. Sometimes I get lax on that. You let them go too long. They should be replaced every season, probably for the best sound out of the calls. So got to do that. I'd like to try some other calls as well. You know, you kind of get comfortable in the couple of old calls that you have. So stuff like that, all around calling, just trying to improve. Number two, I'm going to try to prioritize my rest, exercise, and diet during hunting season. All three of those took a little bit of abuse here and there over the hunting season, and I can be better. If you got some ideas on that, I'd love to hear it. Drop by the Migration Waterfowl Facebook group or send me a message on Instagram. I'd like to hear what you guys are doing to stay in shape when you can't get to the gym, if you're on the road on a duck hunt in a remote area. I've got some routines that I do. Keep a couple of dumbbells in the truck, do some push-ups, things like that, some body weight exercises. But I'd like to hear what you guys do with that, how you stay on your diet, and how you're prioritizing your rest. I can tell you, running a social media campaign for a podcast and a brand over multiple social media platforms and podcasts, YouTube, is not conducive to prioritizing your rest. But I kind of felt like I had to go full speed to get the name out there and to kind of build to where I'm at now. I'm hoping I don't have to do that next year, but knowing my personality, I'll probably continue to do that. But I have gotten better. I have gotten more on a schedule. And I think next year will be a little bit easier on how I have everything laid out now that I'm kind of in a routine. So we will see how that goes. This episode is also brought to you by the Duck Hole & Company, Attracting Feathers Together. They are a full-service habitat company located in North Carolina. If you have questions about waterfowl habitat or need some work done on your property, contact them through any of their social media platforms at the Duck Hole & Company. They can also fix you up with Golden Millet, also known as the Duck Buffet, and the best bang for your duck. And number three, I'm going to travel more. I was fortunate enough to hunt in Kansas and Nebraska twice this year, early season and later in November. Looking forward to trying some new spots this year. And it doesn't have to be, you know, people think about travel, they think a lot of times it has to be some far away exotic place. You know, Lake Erie is only 2 hours north of me, and I haven't done a whole lot of diver hunting, and I took advantage of that. So just driving a couple hours out of the regular spots that you normally go to can sometimes, you know, be a big adventure and can considered, you know, some satisfying travel. So don't overlook that either. And that comes with seeing new places and hunting with new people. And that's my favorite part of being a hunter and a travel hunter, especially, is meeting new people. And this podcast has given me an avenue to do just that. I'm very thankful for it. God's blessed me with a ton of new relationships this year, some great Christian relationships with some really good humans. And I'm looking forward to making more of those friends this upcoming year. I'm always trying to introduce a family member or friend to waterfowl hunting. I know that's counterproductive to what some people say, you know, we don't need more people. Well, that may be true in some instances or some thought processes, but, you know, we need the right people for sure. If you're going to have people coming in, you got to at least give them a good foundation and be a good mentor and, you know, at least instill some decent morals and ethics. So I take that very serious. And, you know, if I can help anybody out there, reach out. Obviously, location is a limiting factor, but I'd certainly help you out as much as I can from where I'm at. And like I said, it's nothing new as far as traveling goes, but it's something I'm going to keep doing as long as I can. NC Ducker asked, how much did you spend versus what you told your wife when getting into duck hunting? I'm guessing this comment was just submitted to add some humor, but I have heard and seen some horror stories about this over the years from some hunting associates that I've known well and not so well. Fortunately for me, my wife never asks what I spend on hunting or anything else, but that's a two-way street, and the same goes for her. But this has been built on trust over many years, and the mutual respect we have for each other and our finances. Neither one of us has ever had an issue with irresponsible spending on a large scale. Of course, you know, everybody in their 20s does some dumb things, but, you know, nothing devastating. So it's never really been an issue in our relationship. Most times, from what I've witnessed anyway, like most relationship problems, it stems from a lack of communication, which we are all guilty of. But either way, if you're lying to your spouse about what you spend or feel like you have to hide something or keep secrets from them, I'd say you have bigger problems than what you're spending on duck hunting. And again, I'm sure NC Ducker submitted this to be funny, and I'm not calling him out specifically, and I'm sure that wasn't the case. However, like I said, I have seen that rear its ugly head over the years with some other associates, so I figured I would take the opportunity to address it. This episode is also brought to you by CK Custom Calls, custom built in the USA from the great state of Texas, handmade in a world of mass produced. Check out their calls on their Instagram and Facebook pages at CK Custom Calls. They showcase calls for sale there, and you can also contact them for a custom order. A. Taylor asked, what is the most important thing to focus on when scouting for ducks to hunt them more effectively? Well, you have to find the birds and figure out where they want to be. I know that sounds obvious, but sometimes I see a lot of new hunters overlook that. Even if you plan on trafficking birds, there's some great callers out there that can bring birds in that are just flying high overhead. You see it all the time. I see it. I get it. But again, you have to be in the game. If you can't traffic what's not there, so you have to find out where they're at. And then once you see where they're at, you got to break that down even further into the why they want to be there. Is it a place that they're finding food? Is it a place that they're resting? Is it a place that they're just having a secure place to stay safe? And then you have to come up with a plan where to best hunt them in that spot, what way the wind is going to blow, where the sun will rise or set, and where you will hide. Obviously, that is a very general answer to a complex question, but I hope I answered that. If you want some more explanation on that, we've got some really good podcasts with some really good hunters that go into super depth about that. Jake Maxwell from Chasing Green, he's got a YouTube channel. He's got some great tips on there. My buddy Elliot Snyder over at Freelance Duck Hunting YouTube channel. He also has the North American Waterfowler podcast and app. Super informative information he has on both his YouTube channel and his podcast. They've both been guests on my show. You can go back and listen to those along with some other guests that get into that. And like I said, you can also contact me if that did not answer specifically what you were asking. Al H. asked, I have limited duck hunting experience, but I am a deer and upland hunter. Are there any skills from those types of hunting that will help me as a duck hunter? Well, yes and no. Obviously, being an experienced hunter means you probably have at least had a hunter safety course or a decent mentor who taught you some basic firearm and hunting safety. That's huge. Firearm safety is the first thing I'm studying if a new hunter wants to be around me. If you're not safe with a gun, we can't hunt together. Sorry. The consequences are too deadly to chance that. So hopefully you at least have that experience under your belt, and that will certainly help you. If you can camouflage yourself, sit still, and shoot straight and safe on deer, those qualities will serve you very well in the duck blind. On the flip side, deer hunters want the wind in their face at all times and never blowing from them to the deer. It's kind of the complete opposite for waterfowl hunting. With very few exceptions, you don't do very well shooting waterfowl with the wind blowing at your face. Birds like to land into the wind, and unlike deer, They won't flare from your scent. As far as upland bird hunting skills, if you are proficient swinging a shotgun on flying birds in the field, obviously that will shorten your learning curve on shooting ducks. Well, I hope that I answered those questions for you in relatively thorough fashion. If you've got any follow-ups, feel free to submit them to me. I'd love to hear from you all. I had a few other questions that I'm not going to be able to get to today for obvious reasons. Just wanted to push through some of these first few and get you something out here for an episode to listen to this week. I'm going to get back to resting, hopefully getting this out of my system quickly and back to goose hunting before the season closes in February. So as always, really appreciate you all tuning into this one. Check back with us next week for another episode. And don't forget to follow us on socials. We're everywhere. Migration Waterfowl, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And hope to see you over there and hope to hear from you soon. Thanks again, everyone, for taking the time out of your day to tune into this episode. I really appreciate it. You can find links to our merchandise store on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We've got shirts, hoodies, thermoses, coffee, and more over there. And now through the end of February, 10% of everything we sell will go to Delta Waterfowl. We're always uploading brand new designs over there. Check out our new duck stamp t-shirt, and we'll be offering it as a hoodie soon here as well. I appreciate you all who've been buying merchandise. It really helps me out. If you like what you've heard here, please take a moment and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Send me a message or email after you leave the review, and I will mail you a podcast decal. And get out there and enjoy the outdoors, but make sure you seek out a relationship with the one who created everything. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 13 and 14 says, "Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." And remember, the migration is coming. Be ready when it arrives. Tune in next week to hear another great guest on the Migration Waterfowl Podcast.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.